7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, a firsthand account of what it's like to have the coronavirus.
Even 4 hours prior to onset of symptoms on the 20th, I was fine. I was breathing just fine. There was no abnormality. And then all of a sudden, it felt like somebody took my lungs away from me.
And a hopeful ballad for this Friday. This is West Virginia Morning. Letha Mullins is a nurse who lives in Logan County, West Virginia. She was diagnosed with COVID-19 March 24th and spent more than 2 weeks in self-isolation. In this audio postcard, she talks about how the virus took a toll on her body and her spirit.
My name is Letha Mullins. I am 29 years old. I am from Chapmanville, West Virginia. I've lived in West Virginia my whole life. I have been a registered nurse for 7 years, and I have my BSN degree. And right now, I'm doing travel nursing, and I'm currently in Lexington, Kentucky. On March 20th, I went out for my 15-minute break at work and became extremely short of breath and developed a cough. It wasn't so bad that I could contribute it to something more severe like COVID-19. It was, you know, stuff like I smoked a cigarette or, you know, I have allergies. About 3.5 hours after I was home, I spiked a temperature of 102, and immediately, it was instantaneous. I could not breathe. I developed a cough. By the time I made it to urgent care, I was in respiratory distress. I could not speak 3 or 4 words without having to gasp for air. It felt like there was pressure all around my lungs, preventing them from expanding the way they should. And it felt like I was inhaling and exhaling through dense cotton. I do have some pre-existing conditions that make me vulnerable to COVID-19. I am considered overweight. I do have autoimmune disorders. I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis and a muscular condition called myositis. However, those conditions are completely under control and within normal limits for the conditions that they are. And I also smoke. I'm a smoker. I smoke probably about 2 packs a week, which, you know, isn't much, but any smoking is bad smoking, so that does put me at risk. Even 4 hours prior to onset of symptoms on the 20th, I was fine. I was breathing just fine. There was no abnormality. And then all of a sudden, it felt like somebody took my lungs away from me. On the day that I had symptoms and I knew that I had to go get tested, I went to I think it's called Kentucky Urgent Care. I had called them prior to going because I knew that if what I was experiencing was COVID-19, I needed to take proper measures to decrease my exposure, and said that I needed to be tested for COVID potentially. So I drove myself there in respiratory distress. No idea how I made it there safely, but I did. The medical assistant came to my vehicle in full personal protective equipment, the gown, the face mask, the face shield, got my vital signs right there in my car, in the parking lot. So the nurse practitioner had called me through video chat to assess me. Both my flu A and flu B had came back negative, so they moved on to the COVID-19 test. The following Tuesday, after I'd gotten tested, I was at home. And at about 9:30 p.m., I received a call from the urgent care. It was one of their representatives, and he started the conversation out by asking me, have you been anywhere? What's the last 5 days been like? How have you been feeling? There was a sense of urgency in his voice that I picked up on very quickly. And I said, no, I'm not answering any more of your questions until you tell me whether or not I am COVID-19 positive. And he said, yes, unfortunately, you are COVID-19 positive. As a nurse, to know that I have a virus that could have potentially been deadly, that I could have spread to my coworkers and my mother, it was the worst feeling emotionally I've ever felt. Whenever I got tested, the only treatment I got was to be quarantined in my home. In the acute phase after I had onset of symptoms, I asked for medications, and I was told, I'm sorry, we can't help you. you're COVID-19 positive. If you feel like you're getting worse, go to the ER. That was part of my experience that I found to be one of the most difficult things, because as a healthcare provider, I know what I need, when I need it. I know signs and symptoms. However, I was not being provided the things I knew I should have been provided. I wanted to know, are my lungs okay? Are my kidneys okay? Or is my heart okay? What kind of damage is this virus potentially doing to me? And everywhere I reached out to basically was, sorry, we can't do anything for you. You have to go to the ER if you feel like you need to. What I did receive was one follow-up call per day from the health department. They were not interested so much in what I needed medically as they were if I'd been quarantined and what my symptoms were. The first 5 days of my illness were definitely the hardest. On day five, I remember specifically, it felt like my body was giving up and trying to decide, do we want to fight or do we want to give up? I could tell that this virus had put a strain on my body, and apart from my body, it put such a strain on my mind, because it's a very isolated feeling, and to be alone and think this virus could kill me is one of the most mentally and emotionally strenuous things I have ever been through. And as a nurse, we go through, you know, mental and emotional anguish all the time. You know, I was wondering, what if something were to happen to me, what would my mom do without me? You know, because it's just me and my mom in most of the time, and wondering, am I going to be able to avoid the hospital? Am I going to end up on a ventilator? You know, what are my patients going to do without me? I cannot convey in any manner how that feels. I am you. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not part of the CDC or the government. I am a 29-year-old lifelong resident of West Virginia. From one average person to another, this is not a hoax. That's one thing about being from West Virginia, is we are very free-spirited people, and I understand that desire to maintain that freedom. You know, I'm very proud to be from West Virginia, and I'm very proud of my roots, but right now isn't the time for pride. Right now is the time for consideration, and we should consider each other and how we are affecting each other. You know, someone can be walking around that don't know they have the virus and give it to someone like my mom, who may not survive it. So it's not a matter of protecting yourself as much as it is protecting yourself and each other. So we just need to be mindful. And that's one thing about West Virginia that I love more than anything, is our sense of family. You know, my family is your family. My family is everyone else's family. And we need to protect each other right now more than anything.
That was registered travel nurse and West Virginia native Letha Mullins. Mullins was cleared to go back to work Wednesday for her night shift. She says she was tired but made it through and planned to work again Thursday night. That piece was produced by Molly Bourne and Xander Alloy. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Breezy today. There's a slight chance of light rain and light snow this morning. Variable cloudiness with highs in the 40s and low 50s. Mostly clear tonight with areas of frost, lows in the 30s. And mostly sunny on Saturday with highs in the 50s and low 60s. Support for WVPB is provided by Me A Cup of Coffee, serving craft coffee, tea, and espresso beverages inside Charleston's Capital Market and their new Elk City location on Charleston's west side. This week's episode of Mountain Stage revisits a special edition of the show host Larry Gross originally compiled in the wake of September 11, 2001. Songs of Hard Times and Hope includes uplifting and inspirational songs from Sarah McLachlan, R.E.M., Billy Bragg, The Band, June Tabor, and Richard Thompson. For our song of the week, Larry chose Rodney Crowell's Love Is All I Need, which originally appeared on Crowell's 2001 album, Houston Kid.
So I'm an orphan now, out here on my own. Man, it's hard to know where I belong. It comes as no surprise, it happens to us all. Just like the sun will rise, night will fall. I know love is all I need. I know love is all I need. I know love is all I need. That's all I know. An image I recall, a picture on the wall of my mother on her wedding day. Young and naive, nothing up her sleeve, but the things that just got lost along the way. I know love is all I need. I know love is all I need. I know love is all I need, that's all I know. And there's a voice I hear, it comes in loud and clear. It's my father's voice teaching me. He says to be a man, you've got to be true to your word. Then when you make a stand, you'll be heard. I know love is all I need. I know love is all I need. I know love is all I need. That's all I need. I can see it in my children. I can feel it with my wife. And I know it with these friends I have. So important to my life. I had a dream last night. I saw my mom and dad. They were happy now, and I was glad. They had this brand new house that they just moved in. And when I awoke, they were gone again. But I know love is all I need. I know love is all I need. I know love is all I need. That's all I know. Thank you for letting me play for you. Thank you for inviting me up to Charleston. Thank you.
Rodney Crowell performing Love Is All You Need live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.